Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome to Live Dharma Sunday. If you have called in to listen to this morning's broadcast, please note that all lines have been placed on mute to avoid background interference. If you are joining us from either the Bright Dawn Ning site or the Blog Talk Radio site, please note that it is not necessary to call in. If you are experiencing loss of audio or the Blog Talk Radio player is not working properly, please refresh your page and hit the play button once more. It may take a few moments for your browser to complete the buffering process. Once again, welcome to Live Dharma Sunday and enjoy the broadcast.
Welcome everyone to Live Dharma Sunday for May 17th, 2015. Koyo Kubose here. So very glad you joined us. It's a very special weekend for us here at the Bright Dawn Center. You know, as we know, we have a lay ministry program. And we always have a dedicated, committed, small group of participants. It's a two-year program. It's a very commitment. A lot of sweat equity. They meet every week, every Sunday night, where they have discussed the written reports that on some assigned readings, and they talk to each other, give feedback, each other's reports and so forth. And then after 2 years, we have what we call an induction ceremony here at the Bright Dawn Center. And the participants travel from all over the country and come here. This is, for most of them, it's the first time for us to see each other and for them to see each other. Kind of unusual experience to have bonded in a small group and over a two-year period, and then have the opportunity to put a voice to the face. And this weekend, we had yesterday kind of a workshop training program, and then this morning, in about an hour and a half from now, we will have the induction ceremony for four new-to-be lay ministers of the Bright Dawn Center. They and their friends or family have traveled here, as I said, from all over the country. And we have a new Sierra Sanctuary building. We can put them up in our Spartan accommodation, where we say, pull up some floor. We have some air mattresses. And we share food, of course, meals. And they quipped, come for the Dharma, stay for the food. There's nothing like breaking bread together. But maybe that's being an outmoded quote now, because a lot of people are gluten-free and so forth. Okay. But to be able to share meals together, share laughter together, this is a precious sharing life together, living example of the Sangha, one of the three treasures in Buddhism. The Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. So my remarks opening the show today is on the impact, the importance of fellowship. It's almost impossible to successfully travel one spiritual path without some kind of sangha. We should really think about that, because sometimes we think that, oh, the Dharma is the crucial thing. Oh, a teacher, the Buddha. But one fellow travelers along the path of spiritual journey is really the mutual polishing, or whatever term we might use for this kind of fellowship, karmic interactions. Most people say in their livelihood or their work, their colleagues, what are you talking, doctors, plumbers, artists, it's their fellow colleagues that make for such a rich interaction that's possible beyond, say, your supervisors or bosses, or the people you have to supervise, but your fellow colleagues. There's nothing, the other two that I just mentioned are sort of above you, below you. There's a different kind of relationship. But your buddies, your buddies in the foxhole, so to speak. There's a intimacy of sharing life together that is a special thing. So I got to experience that this weekend and wanted to mention it. Now, as you know, we have a guest to give us a Dharma glimpse every Sunday, and again, we didn't plan it. Adrian is in charge of the scheduling, and we have one of the inductees is according to the Tolban or the schedule of sharing responsibilities, and I schedule them. Maybe that's not the best arrangement. He said, no, this is okay, it's okay. And he agreed. And so, and then now when I think about it, it makes it extra special. Okay. That although our guest is going to be inducted today, okay, he's also going to give us a Dharma glimpse today. Okay. It makes it all the more memorable and impactful experience of today. And this is Choyo, Dharma name that he has received from the Bright Dawn, and he's from Pennsylvania. And this is our LM, Lay Ministry 7 group, okay, that's being inducted this weekend. And so I will turn it over to Choyo for today's Dharma glimpse.
Buddham Sarnam Gacchami, Dhammam Sarnam Gacchami, Sangham Sarnam Gacchami, Buddham Sarnam, Dhammam Sarnam, Sangham Saranam, Buddham Dhammam, Sangham Buddhasa.
Namaste Sangha, this is Choyo. I'm grateful and honored to be here today in Coarse Gold for the Bright Dawn LM7 induction ceremony. For today's Dharma glimpse, I would like to focus on the mystery and wonder of Sangha. For me, The Triple Gem provides opportunity for limitless contemplation. Shakyamuni Buddha is said to have stated the following: the jewel of community, the Sangha, is to be held equal to the Buddha and the Dharma. Indeed, the whole of the holy life is fulfilled through spiritual friendship. In the Triple Refuge, one takes refuge in Buddha, Dharma, and Sangha. During my studies in Bright Dawn, a question arose in my mind concerning taking refuge in the Sangha. Specifically, I wondered how one could take refuge in a human community which is subject to change and all the ups and downs which every community faces. The Buddha and the Dharma are easy to view as eternally true, good, and beautiful. Why then would one take refuge in community? Well, first of all, the realization of interdependence means that there is no way out of community. We are all in it together, like it or not. Secondly, Sangha, I would like to note, can be interpreted on both an outer and inner level. In reading a Tibetan Buddhist author, Alexander Berzin, I learned that there is an inner meaning to the term Sangha in addition to the simple outer meaning. Speaking of Sangha, Berzin writes, on one level, it can refer to a group of people that live, function, and work together as a community. On another level, it can refer to a community of purifications and realizations on a mental continuum that also exist together, interacting and working together. More precisely, on this second level, Sangha refers to the true stoppings or true cessations of true sufferings and their true causes, plus the true pathway minds that led to the attainment of those true stoppings on the mental continuum of an arya. That arya can be either us or someone else. These true stoppings and true pathway minds also constitute a sangha, a community living together. In other words, existing and functioning together. When we take refuge, it's not in the sangha in general, it's in the sangha gem. The sangha and the sangha gem are different. To go in that safe direction of the sangha gem, we obviously have to know what it is. That is the danger of calling a community of people in the Dharma Center Sangha, because if we don't know clearly what the Sangha gem is, we might think it refers to the people in our Dharma Center. The deepest Sangha gem is the true stoppings and true pathway minds on the mental continuum of a highly realized being. They gain these from having had non-conceptual, straightforward cognition of the Four Noble Truths. I like that quote from Berzin. Recalling that the term Buddha means one who is awake or open to reality, I've now come to view this esoteric meaning of Sangha as the network of fully open chakras within the subtle body which allow the unobstructed flow of life's energy. When our hara, our heart, and our head are aligned with each other and open to this cosmic flow, then we can perceive the eternal Dharma and manifest as a Buddha here and now. This inner network of aligned and open energy centers is one way to view Sangha that makes it easier for me to understand the necessity of taking refuge in Sangha. The Sangha, like the Buddha and the Dharma, is existing within and through us. Domang Yangfang, a teacher of Dzogchen and Mahamudra, writes, when we speak of the Sangha, we speak of the Arya Sangha, which means the exalted Sangha. At the time of the Buddha, this referred to the arhats and bodhisattvas, the disciples who studied under him and achieved various levels of realization through their practice. But now, who is this Arya Sangha? It is all of us, all of the practitioners at the present time. The moment we take refuge, which is to begin on the path, we hold the title of Sangha. As such, you should understand that you are one of the three jewels. You shouldn't put the three jewels outside of yourselves. You should always think of yourselves as being one of the three jewels, and that includes your body, your speech, and your mind. In the Triple Gem, I see the paradox of the one and the many ever shining. The one Buddha nature manifests within and among the many Sangha members, and it is the Dharma which unifies the many and the one. I'd like now to take some time to look at the etymology of the term Sangha. Sangha comes from the Sanskrit term Samka, from the prefix meaning together, S-A-M, and H-A-N, meaning to come in contact. Thus, Sangha means literally to come in contact together. And in a spiritual sense, it refers to coming into contact with ultimate reality together. This S-A-M or S-A-N prefix, like the English prefixes S-Y-N or C-O-N, means with, together with, along with, all together, and is used to express conjunction, union, thoroughness, intensity, completeness. We find the same S-A-M prefix elsewhere in Buddhist teachings, such as in the term Sama Samadhi, right, meditative absorption, or in the title Sama Sambuddhasa, the full and perfectly enlightened one. Turning to the last half of the term Sangha, this H-A-N particle, in the Sanskrit dictionaries, I'd like to note what that is listed as meaning. To strike, to beat together, drum, pound, hammer, strike upon, strike at, strike off, to smite, slay, hit, mar, destroy, to put to death, cause to be executed, to ward off, avert, to hurt, wound the heart, hurl a dart upon, to touch, to come into contact, to obstruct, to hinder, to repress, give up, abandon, to go, to move, to be struck or killed, to cause to be slain or killed, put to death, punish, tread upon, dispel darkness, chew off, chew down, pierce, throw down, suppress, give up, abandon, tread upon, vex, afflict, beat off, repel, unhusk, strike at, afflict, visit, scare away, repel, keep off, strike at, attack, assault, impede. So these are many possible meanings of the H-A-N particle in Sanskrit. So Sangha, therefore, can be legitimately interpreted as all beating together, which as a drummer I like very much. It could also be read as striking together, like the old-fashioned way of cleaning potatoes where you put them in a tub of water and agitate the whole bunch, letting the potatoes rub against one another to become clean. Here we can see that Sangha is truly about mutual polishing. Or one could describe the term Sangha as a group that is destroying the defilements together. Or it could actually mean moving together, which goes along well with the keep going motto of our beloved sensei, Reverend Koyo. Although not all etymologists may see a connection between Sanskrit and Finnish, I really love the Finnish meaning of this particle H-A-N. In Finnish, H-A-N is a particle used to express that the speaker has some more or less certain view on something, but is surprised after having got to know the truth about it. Or it's a particle used to express that the speaker had some more or less certain view on something, but is surprised at the controversial view expressed by some other person. How marvelous that Sangha can, with this loose etymological methodology, be read as coming together and being surprised by the truth. I personally like to make use of stream of consciousness etymologies, and for me, I see in this term Sangha a communal song of laughter. The Sanskrit word saman actually means melody, song, or psalm. And this song in English is like a song, the past tense of sing. And the ha is a natural sound that arises when one is laughing and has a joyful spirit. And what better community is there than one which sings and laughs together? Thich Nhat Hanh has written, 2,500 years ago, Shakyamuni Buddha proclaimed that the next Buddha will be named Maitreya, the Buddha of love. I think Maitreya Buddha may be a community and not just an individual. A good community is needed to help us resist the unwholesome ways of our time. Mindful living protects us, helps us go in the direction of peace. With the support of friends in the practice, peace has a chance. I know from my personal experience that meeting ordinary people who have extraordinary character traits inspires me to become a better person. Often our heroes seem larger than life, and their strengths do not necessarily impel us to greatness because we assume they are in some way gifted or trained in a way that we are not. But when we know someone who's just like us and who nonetheless has a special virtue, such as honesty or perseverance, then we can more readily take up the challenge to improve our character and match the level of our peer. Coming into contact with ordinary persons and noticing their unique strengths really helps me to keep going, to deepen my commitment to the path, and become a better person. I'd like now to briefly mention what I've learned from my LM7 Sangha members. We know the Yo at the end of Sangha members' names means sun or light, and it's nice. It's a nice suffix because we're all shining lights for one another. First, I'd like to thank all of the many guest teachers who have shared their light with us on the LM7 conference calls. Next, to our main instructors and facilitators, Reverend Koyo and Adrian Sensei, let me say Gassho and state that from you, I have gleaned perennial and purposeful Buddhism. To Kai-san, thank you very much for your pragmatic and practical Buddhism. I appreciate very much how you apply the Dharma to your ordinary daily activities. To Ken-san, deep gratitude for your pure and pristine Buddhism, keeping the focus on Shakyamuni's core teachings. And to Mart-san, thank you for your deeply personal and persistent Buddhism, continuing on in your studies courageously while fighting cancer with Hawaiian flair. I have benefited more than I can say from the ongoing support and spiritual formation which each of you has offered. Let us not forget the LM7 members who were briefly part of our training program, either finishing up their curriculum or moving on or leaving the course for one reason or another. It was Stevenson, Tess-san, Clarence-san, Kelly-san, Kikuyo-san, and Tayo-san. Wherever you are, thank you, and may you speedily attain full and perfect enlightenment. Elvis Presley once said, "I learned very early in life that without a song, the day would never end. Without a song, a man ain't got a friend. Without a song, the road would never bend without a song. So I keep singing my song." If I may modify this quote to fit the topic under consideration, I would say, I learned somewhat late in life that without a sangha, the night would never end. Without a sangha, a sentient being hasn't got a friend. Without a sangha, the path would never bend. Without a sangha. So I will keep singing and laughing with my sangha. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya Jaya. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya Jaya. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya Jaya. Om Namo Amitabha Buddhaya Jaya Namo. Buddhaya Jaya Namo. Buddhaya Jaya Namo. Buddhaya Jaya Namo. Amitabha Tathagata Ki Jai.
Thank you very, very much. My father used to say quite often, wow, you know. In fact, we put that on the service program when we had his memorial service and so forth, and it was very part of his freshness in living. Oh, wow, look at that. Or if he was driving, you know, someplace, being driven, and he looking, Joe's looking around. Oh, wow, look at that. Oh, look at that. And it's nothing really surprising or unusual, but fresh eyes mean you see fresh things. And for the newcomers who maybe was in his presence, thought maybe that was that wall was affected, was you know. But after a while, they realized that's a very genuine wow, wow. And when we hear Dharma glimpses that have wowness, it really, in the Dhammapada it says, like the moon that frees itself from the clouds that hide it, you know, and comes, light comes shining down. Kind of like that image, okay? The one who has found the path in the Dharma is like the moon freed from the clouds, and wow, you see that nice moonlight shining all over. Wow. And of course, any Dharma glimpse that quotes Elvis Presley, and there's a power beyond the self. This sort of power we could say is a foundation of spiritual life. It's what our heart and our head rest upon. We could call it our hara or our gut. Okay. Our head is our reasoning, our intellect. And that's important. If we move lower to the heart, our feelings, emotions of all kinds, our intentions, our purposes, our passions, very important in our life. Our world often is, one's personal phenomenal world is ruled by emotions. And of course, there's interaction between the head and the heart and thoughts and feelings. But lower than that is the gut. You know, our gut was, and there must be a better word, but intuition. The head might lead you wrong sometimes if you rely solely on it. Your feelings might lead you astray if that's the only basis for making major life decisions. But if you tune in to the gut, and the gut doesn't ignore the head and the heart input. Okay. So it's not a matter of, you know, them being separate. It's all taken into consideration, but it's foundational. This is the Sangha, or life itself. Natural life itself, beyond the one and the many. To have that as your center of gravity, spiritual center of gravity, huh, is a tremendous thing. And, well, that's all for today's broadcast. Till next time, keep going, and you have a very beautiful, dharmaful, and sanghaful day. Thank you.